Lord, we pray that we might hear your voice, know your presence, and see the goal that lies before us. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder, what's your goal in life? This might sound like a strange question to ask in church. You might say to me, Wayne, you're in the wrong place. You're not in the gym now. We're Anglicans. We don't do goals. We're just here to worship God. Maybe to help each other a little, or who knows, make a small difference in this world. Which is why it might be important for us to consider what the Apostle Paul had to say about his goal in life. For even if we don't recognize them, many of us have unspoken spiritual goals. Because knowing God, helping one another, and seeking justice and peace are goals of a spiritual nature. So what makes for a spiritual goal, and what sets it apart from all the other goals that we might have in life? Well, to answer this question, it's probably good that we start with Paul. If you were to meet Paul, I think most folks today would perhaps describe him as something like an espresso coffee. He's short and more than a little intense. This is because of how he is so focused and single-minded in what he writes. Paul had one goal in life, a goal that oriented everything he was, everything that he did, and everything that he would become. That goal was simply to know Christ. Wanting to know Christ wasn't simply a matter of knowing about Christ. It wasn't something that sparked his intellectual or historical or even theological curiosity. No, Paul was an apostle, not a biographer. What Paul wanted to know was the height and depth and breadth of God's love that was expressed in and through the person of Jesus. And so it wasn't dates or facts or sayings or parabolic conundrums that drove Paul. Rather, it was because of his encounter with Christ's faithfulness on that road to Damascus. That's what shaped Paul. And so he wanted to know, not just with his mind, but with his heart and through every bit of his life. He wanted to know the mystical heights of Christ's resurrection, the depths of Christ's suffering and crucifixion, and everything in between with absolutely nothing left out. Paul was not the kind of guy to drift along, nor was he someone to look back in nostalgia. Why? Because he was a totally changed person. How much had he changed? Well, Paul puts it in terms that might otherwise make a chorister blush. He had every advantage. He had all the right credentials. He had the right heritage and the right connections. And he was as strict and as devout as they came. But he counted all of this as rubbish. Or as the old King James puts it more bluntly, as dung, compared to what it was like to gain Christ. For Paul, knowing Christ was a spiritual goal. Now, a spiritual goal is not something that you do. It's not a goal like praying more or reading scripture more or volunteering to go on more rosters. No, a spiritual goal is about who you are becoming. A spiritual goal is unlike anything else because it can't be done by yourself. It can only be done together with God. And it can't be done in the safe confines of a sanctuary or a study. To look at it from another point of view, what Paul wants to know isn't just that Jesus rose from the dead. He wants to see and feel and touch that resurrection power in the world around him. He wants to see the impossible happen. And nothing was more impossible than seeing Gentiles come to know and love God. But he didn't stop there. He wanted to see sanctification and reconciliation happen. Justice and peace are what righteousness looks like when it rolls up its sleeves and gets to work in the world. This is what was accomplished by Jesus' suffering and death. And this is what Paul wants to be a part of. What Paul knew is that you can't get the good bits of the resurrection without going through the tough bits of the crucifixion. Spiritual goals aren't like a box of cherries where you get to pick the best and to leave the rest. It's only by sharing in Christ in everything, the good bits and the painful bits, the great bits and the terrible bits, everything that makes us human is what allows us to see and experience the world beyond. To understand how and why Paul might say this, it's helpful to remember Jesus' parable of the wicked tenants. This parable cuts to the heart of what was unfolding around Jesus when he entered Jerusalem and Holy Week began. Jesus had come, announcing God's good news and showing God's great love and generous inclusion. But rather than celebrate this fact, the leaders and the authorities looked at these worthless and detestable people, these Gentiles and sinners who were coming to faith, and they plotted and schemed to be rid of this Jesus. This troublemaker. Didn't he know that they were the ones who made the rules? That they were the gatekeepers to God's kingdom? That they were the ones who decided who comes into God's kingdom and who stays on the outside? What Paul didn't realize at the time, as one of those Pharisees standing around judging Jesus, was that he and his peers had turned God's word into an idol. And as a result, they were plotting murder, misleading people about God, and planning to steal the vineyard itself. No wonder that Jesus concluded the parable with the words that the stone that the builders didn't accept would become the most important one. That anyone who falls on that stone will be shattered, but whoever the stone falls upon will get smashed. Make no mistake, this stone fell heavily upon Paul. He shared in the plot to condemn Jesus. And he subsequently threw all the faithful that he could into prison. All in an effort to show God, to please God, that he was loyal and devout and deserving. Paul had goals, but he didn't like what he had become. driven to protect God in a fallen world, Paul was awoken to the fact that he had participated in the killing of God's Son, and that he was totally wrong about everything he believed he was so right. That's why he counted it all as little more than a pile of dog dung. No wonder he tells the Philippians not to put their trust in those kinds of things. Why would he look back to those things that filled him with remorse and regret? No, instead, that's why he would look ahead. He would look forward to the future like an athlete who's running for the prize, putting all his energy into knowing Christ in all of its fullness. A spiritual goal isn't just about who we've been. It's about who we are becoming. And although Paul was smashed, God does not leave him that way, because spiritual goals are about the future, about who we are becoming, about God's life and how it works out in and through us. It's tempting to think that Paul ran this race all by himself, because that's the way we so often work. We see spirituality as something that we do by ourselves. But if we hear it this way, we mishear Paul. Paul's goal to know Christ isn't simply a matter of being right or being the best. Rather, it's Paul's response to finding himself wrapped up in God's love and grace after all of the terrible things that he has done. It's not that Paul was striving to do something spiritual for God. It was that God knew Paul and reached out to him first, thereby bringing him into something that he could hardly dream of or imagine. Paul was smashed by God's love in order that he might be transformed by it, that he would no longer be that angry, self-righteous poop that he was, but that he might become the apostle of love. And it was Christ who is now working out through him, bringing all the most unlikely people, Gentiles, into God's great kingdom. I know that hearing about all of this sounds exhausting and intense. But Paul knew that God's love never depends on having the right credentials, the right heritage, doing the right rituals, or knowing the right stuff. It's not what Paul did that ultimately mattered. It's what God has done in and through Christ. That is what counts. Jesus came to find each and every one of us, even a total ratbag like Paul. That's why Jesus is the cornerstone, whose love has the power to open up even someone as close-minded as Paul. It changed the way he saw others. It shifted the way he acted in the world. And that's why Paul, this most puritanical of all Pharisees, is now living among Gentiles so that they would have the chance to see and know the love of God in Christ, a love that he knew and encountered for himself. So we might wonder, where does this leave all of our goals? Whatever your goal in life might be, it will only get better when Christ is the spiritual goal that lies at the center. Because love when it becomes the center of our life, it has the habit of reshaping us from the inside out and renewing everything around us, whether it is our work or our study or our family life. So by all means, be Anglican and come along to worship, but just don't be content to sing a few songs. Rather, expect that God will meet you here. And don't be satisfied by sharing a few prayers and having a little bread and wine at communion, but ask that the Spirit will fill your life and stir something new deep within. And don't just think a little bit about justice and peace for this world, but ask Jesus how you might make it happen right where you live. This is a race that we all get to run, but we don't do it by ourselves. We run it together as sisters and brothers with Christ. May we run it well. Amen.